Amen. Wasn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Hewitt, you have six girls. Any sons?
Not yet.
Amen. So in other words, you live in a women's dorm. Yes, sir. I understand that. My wife and I have four daughters, and so I lived in a women's dorm for a long time. Our baby graduates high school, and so next week, and so looking forward. I say looking forward to the empty nest. You said that about 10 minutes. You know, I dropped the kids off, and then 10 minutes into your date, talking about the kids. We didn't have any kids to drop off. 10 minutes into our date, we're still talking about the kids, but that's all right. That children are a blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And so, all right, did anybody do their homework today?
Amen.
All right, more folks did your homework. Good. And Brother Hewitt, you and your family, you're at a loss. You didn't understand there was a homework assignment. So y'all all get zeros for tonight. But you'll be with us for this weekend, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, now, anybody want to guess as to where we're going to go to Sunday? Chapter 10.
Amen.
All right, so if you have your Bibles, take and open to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Now your homework, and you're going to get a whole extra day to do this, because if it rains tomorrow and we have a church service, I promise you I will not be preaching out of 2 Corinthians for that service, all right? And so as much as I love to preach, there's a part of me, it's like, man, I'm torn, because I have to get up and divert from what we've been doing.
Yeah.
And then try and get you back into focus on Sunday morning. But that's all right. We'll have fun either way, right?
Amen.
Amen. It's always good to be around God's people.
Amen.
Amen. And so 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I'm going to read one verse to get us started, but we'll be looking at a lot more than just one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look with me in verse number 11. The Bible says in verse number 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, "Be enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." I want to speak to you tonight on that subject, causing thanksgiving.
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
Causing thanksgiving to God. Pray with me if you would tonight. Father, I pray now that you would strengthen my voice, Lord, my lungs. Lord, help me to be a help to these, your dear people. Now, Lord, this is your word. And so, Lord, please, I pray that you would just help me just to show what you've already said in your word. But Lord, how it applies to us in the context of faith giving, faith promise giving. And Lord, I pray that you would help every single person here to understand that they having a part of this is going to cause thanksgiving to you. Lord, you deserve to be thanked over and over and over. Lord, if every single one of us got what we deserved, we'd spend eternity in hell. God, we owe you so much more than just thanks. Lord, you desire to be thanked. And so, Father, please help me tonight. Empower me. Lord, I pray that you'd move and work in our midst. And we'll give you the honor for what you do. We ask it in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to look back with me, if you would. In chapter number 8, I want to hit on this. We kind of stopped on this last night. And I'm going to pick up. I just want to point something out to you. In verse number 4 of chapter number 8, Paul is writing. He says that praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. And notice this. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You see that phrase, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The word ministering means attending to the needs of.
Right.
All right? Attending to the needs of the saints. Now look in chapter number 9, verse number 1. Paul is writing and he says, "For as touching the ministering to who? the saints. And so Paul is continuing to talk about this, attending to the needs of the saints. And for those of you that haven't been here, the saints is found, the first time we find in the New Testament, the word saints is in Matthew chapter 27 at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ when He gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished." Many of the saints which were dead arose and walked around the city, showing us a picture of the resurrected or victorious Christian life. Those that have died to themselves are now living under Christ, and we make the application of the missionaries. But Paul is writing, and he says, "For it's touching the ministering to the saints." Notice what he says: "It is superfluous or advantageous or profitable for me to write to you." In other words, Paul is saying, "Listen, it's profitable, it's advantageous for me to write to you about this subject, this topic of attending to the needs of the saints." Now, keep reading if you would with me down. He says, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, that for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia." Now remember last night, he was using the churches of Macedonia to the church at Corinth as an example. And now he's turning around and telling the church at Corinth, "Hey, listen, I've bragged on you to the church at Macedonia." All right, the churches of Macedonia. He said that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. You understand and realize that our zeal for the Lord is going to provoke others to help us in what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the pastor got up and he showed us the Bible that his dad had. I don't know about you, but boy, I'd love to look through and see the notes.
Yeah.
The notes.
Amen.
You know, you stop and think. Boy, as you were reading some things and stuff, it just made me stop and think about Brother Roloff.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Roloff said, "The Pentecostals say I don't have enough, and the Baptists say I have too much."
Yeah.
And I think he coined the term Bapticostal. You know, it's okay for us to feel something right there.
Amen.
It was something as big as God moves in.
Huh?
If we're not careful, even our missions in our churches today becomes a scheduled event.
Right.
It becomes something that is there on the calendars, what we're supposed to do. And we never allow our hearts to be revived about why are we doing this.
Yeah.
Well, folks, look at me and listen to it. We are doing all of this because it will in turn cause thanksgiving through us to God. I'll prove that scripturally in just a little bit. God likes to be thanked.
Amen.
Do you like to be thanked? Yeah. We all like to be thanked.
Amen.
We do something, we like to say thank you. We like to people to say thank you. You know, God did something for us that no one else could.
Right. Amen.
He redeemed us.
Amen.
He made it possible for us to be redeemed. Do you ever thank God for your salvation?
Amen. Come on, bring it, brother.
Look at me. Y'all get mad at me on this. Now, I believe in eternal security.
Yeah,
but sometimes it'd be nice, preacher.
Yeah, I understand.
Sometimes it'd be nice if we could dangle over hell again.
Yeah,
We get to the point that we've been saved for so long, we forget what it was like when we first got saved.
Yeah.
Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, "Keep your testimony fresh."
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen.
What do you mean by that? He meant, don't get so complacent in your Christianity that you forget from where you came from. And Paul is writing, he says, "Your zeal hath provoked many." Now, I want you to keep turn over with me to verse number 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." You understand the law of sowing and reaping?
Right.
You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you reap after you sow. So let me ask you a question. Fast forward to the judgment seat of Christ and ask yourself right now, what do you want to reap then? Then that determines what you do now. So many times I didn't graduate Christian school and go into Bible college. I graduated public school, went to secular college, went into secular work. You know, and there was this thing called career path planning.
Right.
Where do you want to get to in your career path?
Yeah, right.
And then they would teach you to work backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I look at a lot of Christians. Well, we don't work backwards.
No.
You understand you're going to stand and give an account to God someday?
Yeah.
You know, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In context, that is dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. Boy, y'all look at me. Y'all going to... You understand that our sin was judged at Calvary.
Yep.
So when we look at Calvary, God judged our sin, or judged as sinners.
Right.
Now, behold, now are ye the sons of God. So when I am judged now, I am judged as a son of God. But at the judgment seat of Christ, I will be judged as a servant.
Yep. Amen. Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen. Come on now.
I won't get the grace and mercy of the Son because I will be in heaven experiencing grace and mercy. But at the judgment seat of Christ, I'll be saying, boy, there was so much more I wish I would have done. I'm trying to get you now to look to then and realize that's when we're going to reap what we've sown. So how good of a judgment seat do you want? Keep reading. Verse number 7. And your pastor, and on the commitment cards, this is there. Every man. Remember that? 1 Corinthians chapter. Let every one of you, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. And again, in context, is dealing with reaping. Hey, you're going to purpose and decide how much you want to reap. My uncle's a farmer. He doesn't go out and say, well, I tell you what, I'd like to have so many bushels of cotton every year and then only plant about 10 acres.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
right.
He has to look and determine how many acres it takes to yield a bushel and all this formula. It's back to, as God hath prospered him, setting down and taking inventory.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
How much do I want to invest in God?
Come on.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how much of a good investment is God.
Come on. Amen.
Huh? Boy, I won't ever have to worry about the stock market in heaven.
Amen.
I won't ever have to worry about God's commodity.
Amen.
Losing stock.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right, brother.
Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Brother Hall will take any old grump that'll give. Yeah, amen. I used to quote this when I pastor, and I'd say, God loves a cheerful giver. I said, I don't care if you're cheerful or not. You ought to be obedient and tithe.
Yeah.
And I said, then to really be obedient, you have to give an offering above the tithe. And I said, if you have a problem with that, then you have a heart problem with God. And I said, you take that up to God with God. I said, but after you write the check and drop it in the offering plate.
Amen.
Yeah. The Bible says there in verse number 8, and God is able to make, and your pastor emphasized this the other night, notice this, all grace abound toward you, that ye always having how much sufficiency?
All
sufficiency. And how many things?
All
things may abound to every good work.
Yeah.
Now, your commitment card stopped right there in verse number 8.
Right.
But you see the punctuation at the end of verse number 8? It's semicolon.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 9 and everything beyond is a preceding thought about this. All grace, all sufficiency, and all things. He says in verse number 9, as it is written. That is from Psalm 112. We're not going to go back to Psalm 112, but if you're taking notes, write down Psalm 112 and see the notes or the promises that God gives in the 112th Psalm to those who will be obedient to God. Now, it says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. You see that? Abroad.
Yep.
He hath given to the poor. Look at me and listen to me. I want you to understand this. You sit in the United States of America. And people are all the time in America, "Oh, Brother Hall, I'm just so poor."
Yeah.
If you make more than, is it $9,700? Somewhere around $9,700 is just under $10,000. If you make more than that, then you are in the top 15% richest people in the world. 85% of the world makes less than $10,000 a year. You can Google it. I'm dead serious. You can Google it. If you make, I think it's right at $18,000, a little over $18,000 a year, that puts you in the top 4% riches in the world. If you make more than $35,000 a year, that puts you in the top 1% richest people in the world.
Wow.
That doesn't put you in the top 1% in America.
No, right.
But it puts you in the top 1% of the world.
Right.
I don't know if y'all remember a few years ago, the Occupy Wall Street movement. It was a bunch of 1%ers protesting the 1%.
Right.
I wanted to take them and say, "Let's go to Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bangkok.
Yeah.
Let's go to Thailand. Let's go to Burma. Let's go to the Philippines. Let's go someplace that you can look and realize how blessed you are by what you have right here."
Amen.
You understand that our job is to take that which God has blessed us with and to scripturally to distribute abroad, give to the poor, and what will be the case? His righteousness remaineth forever.
Amen.
Now notice this, verse number 10. "Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both." See that word both?
Yep.
Remember Acts 1:8?
Yep.
"Both simultaneously minister bread for" whose food? "Your food."
Amen.
"And multiply" whose seed?
"Your seed."
"And increase the fruits of" whose righteousness?
"Your
righteousness." Now he that ministers seed to the sower. Chris, come here. We're going to use you again. Come up here on the platform. Let everybody look at you. He's a fine looking young man. Right, Mom? Amen. Now, God's calling Chris to Thailand. He just doesn't know it yet.
Amen.
Subliminal message.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Chris is a member of y'all's church, right?
Amen.
All right, so if he surrenders to that call, would you send him out?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. You send him out, don't you want him to sow the seed of the gospel?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so who ministers to the seed sowers?
Yep.
Hello. Yep.
Church.
Amen. Who?
Church.
The church does.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 10. "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower." It is your job to help him, and it's his job to be your representative someplace that you are not to sow the seed of the gospel. But do you see the threefold promise that God says if you will be obedient to minister seed to the sower, what you reap back to the law of sowing and reaping? Do you see it? Verse number 10. Stay right there, Chris. You see it? "Now he that ministereth," attend to the needs, attending to the need of what? "Seed to the sower, both simultaneously minister bread for your food."
Yep.
Amen.
"And multiply"
Amen.
"your seed"
Yep.
"sown, and increase the fruits of" "your righteousness."
Amen.
God says, if you will go into business with me and help me minister seed to the sowers, when they go out, you get a threefold return.
Amen.
You remember the law of sowing and reaping? You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. The question is, are you going to sow?
Amen.
He that ministers seed to the sower. That means you have a part in this.
Right.
And you're going to determine on Sunday or Sunday night what part you're going to have in this.
That's right.
Well, I don't know. What part do you want to reap?
Right.
Because God's already said He'll give you a threefold return.
Amen.
Hey, if somebody told me, I'll give you at least a 30% return or a threefold return, I'll say, I'll go into business with you. Look, again, from my background, I look at a lot of things from a business perspective, and God is the best investment in the world. Wait, for all eternity. Yeah. You stop and think about that. Chris, have a seat right there. And I'm going to need you again. Just looks good to have him on the platform. Amen. But now wait, notice the end of verse number 10, semicolon there. Being enriched in everything. If you minister seed to the sower, God won't only just threefold return, but He says, here's what will happen. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. See that word through?
Yep.
That word through means the channel of an act.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
The channel of an act. Chris, come here. Are you saved?
Yes, sir.
Do you thank God that you're saved?
Yes, sir.
Amen. How did you get saved?
It was during a Bible study with me and my family and the pastor and his wife.
Okay.
And I just got convicted of my sins that night.
So Pastor Fogg kind of led you to the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Do you ever tell him thank you?
Yes, sir.
You do. Now, did he save you?
No.
No. Who saved you?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
So while you may thank the pastor, who do you ultimately thank?
God.
God.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, when Brother Putnam, Brother Butler, when they go to Brazil and they lead people to the Lord, yeah, they're going to say thank you for being the human instrument.
Right.
But as it sinks in and settles in and they begin to understand and realize who saved them and really from what He saved them from and all that is now opened up to them. You ever think they get alone with God and say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you? You think God likes to be thanked? By your being a part of this, and I'll show you more of this, you channel the act through your giving,
right,
of which God says, I'll give back to you, but you channel the act of thanksgiving by ministering seed to the sower.
Amen.
And such there are more people thanking God.
Amen.
Hey, you saw a lot of pictures tonight.
Yep.
You think people in those pictures, they've trusted Christ as their Savior? You think they're going to thank Brother Hewlett?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But ultimately, who is going to get thanked far more than Brother Hewlett? And who deserves to be thanked far more than any of us? God does. Thank you. Have a seat. Amen. Which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. All right? Now there's the effect, right? But look in verse number 12. For the administration. Do you see that word administration? Word administration means the attending to, the attendance to. The attendance of this service. What service? Ministering seed to the sower.
Right.
Not only supplieth the want of the saints. Okay, Chris, I'm sorry. Have a seat. Mrs. Butler, could I use you? Amen. She's like, oh boy. Amen. I always have to use a lady on this because, no, come up here, come up here. Let everybody, amen. See, the husbands always get to get up here and everything. The wives never do. Mrs. Butler, let me ask you a question. You guys are going to Brazil. Would you like a washing machine? You would? You don't want to go down by the river and, you know. Is that a piranha that you have back there? So going down by the river, you know, there's some dangers to... Hey, ladies, let me ask you a question. Do you have a washing machine?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question, Mrs. Butler. If you had to, could you wash the clothes at the river? If you had to. So a washing machine's not necessarily a need because we could wash the clothes at the river. But it sure is a big want.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Right.
Would you look at that verse again? For the administration, the attending to of this service, not only supplieth the want of the who?
Saints.
Mrs. Butler, let me ask you a question. You know, your husband showed in his presentation about going up to the Amazon and everything, and you guys have a son, and now you're going to be having another one and everything. And so chances are, I'm just guessing here, you're probably going to be at the house while he runs up and down the river at times. Yeah? Yeah.
Come on now.
You ladies like to be taken care of? Yeah. Look at me. You can get mad at me all you want to on this. But if she doesn't feel safe and taken care of, he is not staying on the field.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the truth.
And I told you this the other night on Wednesday night. This prevailing attitude in some churches when it comes to the pastor. Lord, you keep him poor, we'll keep him humble. Or Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor.
Right.
The same thing goes when missionary sends letters about things that they post as needs. And people look and say, now is that really a need?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You
do the laundry
there you go.
Down by the creek in Denton.
Yeah. You're right.
Washing machines are not cheap on the foreign field, folks.
That's right.
We look and we say, man, does something really cost like that? Yes, it does.
Yep.
Yes, it does.
Sure. It's good preaching.
Part of your responsibility is what the scripture says right here. Help supply the want of the saints. I promise you, she is not going to want extravagant things.
Right.
But she is going to want to be safe.
Yep.
Thank you, Mrs. Butler. Several years ago, I went to the country of Brazil, Bolivia, the armpit of South America. And one of the missionaries that we were there to see before we got to his house, we were going to be staying at his house before we got there. He said, now, I just want y'all to understand, he says, when you see our place, he says, I want to be in some place where my wife feels safe. I said, okay, brother. No problem. And he says, a lot of folks just don't understand. And we pulled up to a gated community. And we pulled into a house. And then the house itself had a wall and had concertina wire. You know, at first I thought, that's kind of different. So I went to sleep that night.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And I started hearing all the noises and things. And I thought to myself, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. You laugh.
That's true.
But it was reality.
Yeah.
Reality.
Yep.
I looked at the missionary that's sent out of our church that's in Bolivia. I looked at him and I said, Brother Kenneth, I said, you tell me anything Miss Angie needs.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He said, we want to screen in a porch. He said, we want to enclose it so she can have a schoolroom. I said, how much will that cost? He said, preacher, it'd be about $1,200. Yeah. I looked at him, I said, if you get me off of this God-forsaken road, Google world's most dangerous highway, Bolivia. It's called the Death Road. I said, if you get me back to Corioco or La Paz to the capital and I get on that airplane, I said, if I can get back to Newburgh, Indiana, I said, I promise you, our church will send you $1,200. You know why? I was a sissy American pastor on the mission field getting a heavy dose of reality. Yeah. I'd love, well, there are a lot of things I can't do anymore because I'm a missionary. I'd love to put the monkey on some pastors to say, come to the mission field. for some church members. You understand? Part of what you are doing is helping minister seed to the sower and supply the want of the saints. Because if Mrs. Butler isn't happy, ain't nobody gonna be happy in the Butler family.
That's right.
And they won't be staying.
That's right.
Great.
Yes, sir.
And you want them to stay.
Amen.
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 Yep.
You ladies know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. You're right.
You fellas better know what I'm talking about. Amen.
It's good.
For the administration of the service not only supplieth the want of the saints, notice this, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God.
Amen.
Do you see that he reiterates in verse number 12 what he says in verse number 11 about the thanksgiving to God? You know, if God says something once, that's enough to hang our hat on.
Right.
But now he reiterates the thanksgiving to God.
Yep.
He said, hey, listen, if you will understand that your job is to minister seed to the sower and all the benefits that you will receive from that, but wait, you will be enriched, but you will channel the act of thanksgiving to God. But if you will attend to this service and help supply the want so that they stay on the field, guess what happens? More thanksgivings.
Amen.
Abundant.
Amen.
The longer they're on the field, the more people get reached, the more people get trained. The domino effect or the pyramid effect. And all of that, guess what happens? Causes more thanksgiving to God. And God deserves to be thanked. Are you thankful for your salvation? I hope you are. Keep reading with me, if you would, verse number 13. Notice the end of verse number 12, the semicolon. This is all dealing with this. Notice what he says, whiles by the experiment of this ministration. See that word experiment? Word experiment means the proving. If you think God's not going to prove you, you're kidding yourself. If God will say, prove me now herewith, don't think that He won't prove you. You're going to make your commitment. And God's going to say, okay. See, you can check whatever you want to and circle whatever you want to, but that doesn't prove that you will attend to it.
Right. That's good.
Help us, Lord. Verse 12, by the administration, the attending to. Verse 13, whilst by the experiment or the proving, God's going to prove you. God's going to say, are you really on board with this? Are you really on board? Do you really understand that it is for His glory?
Yes, sir.
And the thanksgiving that He will receive? God says, I'm going to prove you. I'm going to put you to the test.
Amen.
Why? Because it is not a flippant thing. Oh, thank you, God. You know, after September 11, 2001, even the bars were putting God Bless America on their sign.
Yeah, right.
Even the bars were putting Pray for America. But so many times we give God so much lip service where our heart is so far from Him. That God says, I'm going to prove you.
Amen.
Says, whiles by the experiment, the proving of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. You ever wonder who they are? They are the saints. Think Brother and Mrs. Butler are going to glorify God for you? For your professed subjection? Mrs. Butler's already thinking about that washing machine. Yeah. Brother Butler's going, Brother Hall, could we go to something else? Yeah. They glorify God. Preacher, isn't that...
That's it.
Every tongue...
Every
every knee, every tongue, to the glory of God the Father.
Yes, sir.
So the saints are going to glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, because that's why they're there. That's why they're in Brazil. That's why they're in Sri Lanka. That's why we're in Southeast Asia. The gospel of Christ. And it says, and for your liberal distribution unto them.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, not just them, and unto all men.
Yeah.
All men. Notice this, verse 14. And by their prayer for you. Brother Putnam, Brother Butler, Brother Hewitt, myself. You know, we have a responsibility.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. You know, we hand out prayer cards, and that's great. We ask people to pray for us. But we have an obligation. We have a responsibility to pray for you.
Amen.
Right. As well.
Amen.
You know, if you support a missionary and they're not praying for you, I don't know if I'd support them. This is a two-way street, folks. It's right there in Scripture. By their prayer. There's not the church. There's the saints. Those. I don't have... By their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace, the exceeding grace of God in you. And he closes out with thanks be unto God for his unspeakable. Is that word unspeakable? Means indescribable. There is nothing adequately in our vernacular that we can describe when it comes to our salvation. But we can thank God.
Amen.
You go all through this and he talks about thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanks. Why? God likes to be thanked. And this helps to cause thanksgiving through you to God.
Amen.
Because people in Brazil and people in Sri Lanka, people in Southeast Asia, when they get saved, yeah, they may look at me and say, oh, Brother Hall, hi, John Hall, thank you, thank you. But you know, when it really begins to sink in, they get in the Word of God, they begin to realize, I'm just the mailman.
That's right.
Yeah, right. That's it.
I didn't pay for their salvation. Jesus did. And they thank Him. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 11 talks about the throne. And people that will be there worshiping God of every kindred, of every tongue, of every nation, of every tribe. I guess that means we got to get busy. Because it's estimated that 33 to 48% of the world is still yet to hear the name Jesus Christ. Then I guess not every nation, every kindred, every tongue, or every people are going to be represented yet. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you thankful for the gift of salvation? Are you thankful that someone cared enough about you to share the gospel with you? Then are you thankful enough to pray and ask God what He wants you to do in this service to cause thanksgiving to Him?
Amen.
Don't look at it as, well, if what I'm doing is to support missionaries. Yeah. But beyond that, what I'm doing is to cause thanksgiving to God.
Amen.
Because of the fact that I am thankful
Amen.
Of what God has done for me.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father.
Amen.